Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up with everybody playing games this week? Well, video games, that is. We got real techie this week in Project Runway, Season 17, Episode 6. Let's do it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
AfterBuzz TV. All right, guys, welcome back. We're here for Project Runway, Season 17, Episode 6. I'm your host, Jessica O'Connor, and y'all know my co-host.
Hi, guys. Simone Thomas. Nice to be back.
I always feel like I have to do, like, this big arm gesture. Like
a, it's a cute little choreo.
I don't know. I'm just dancing. I'm going to Coachella. I'm ready to boogie. But yes. Before I do that, let's chat a little Project Runway, right?
Of course.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
This is what they came for. I don't know. Interesting week.
Yeah.
A little slow. A little on the slow side.
It felt a little like there was something missing.
Yeah.
Just a little empty. I don't know. I just wasn't feeling the...
I'm interested how you guys feel, too. How do you feel? We're kind of in that mid-season slump,
halfway
maybe?
Through. Mid-season slump. Is that a thing?
We maybe? Can make it a thing, I guess. Hashtag mid-season slump.
Mid-season slump.
But the concept was cool.
Yes.
I don't know if the episode itself had that oomph we were looking for,
yeah,
but I liked where they went with it. So the challenge this week was embracing fashion and tech, and it was really cool because Carly Kloss is a computer coder, and she puts on a summer camp every year for these girls who are interested in coding to learn, and that's like one of my favorite things about her. I think that's super cool.
I didn't even know that.
You didn't?
No.
Yeah, it's like her thing. It's
wow.
Computer coding. She's a genius.
That's so refreshing because it proves, you know, she's this beautiful person, but she's also advocating for STEM, and she herself can do that.
We can thank the Reese Witherspoon classic Legally Blonde for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty girls can have brains too. Okay.
Beauty and brains.
And that, I think, was what this episode was all about. And she invited some of the top three women in video game development who are beautiful themselves and stylish and hip and trendy. And it's cool because I think video games don't always get that rep.
No.
If you're a woman in tech, you are... If you're just thinking about that, people think nerd. People...
Immediately.
People think glasses.
You're not cute.
And
or...
bad style. And that's mm-hmm. not necessarily
no.
the case.
Yeah.
And these women especially were really into inclusivity and diverse women. Are you into video games?
So I'm not into video games now. And I wasn't that much when I was younger. I had a Game Boy. I had
yep.
the DS
yep.
and all those different little tools that we played with.
Mm-hmm.
But I was never obsessed with it. I'm
right.
kind of like Rakan, who said he played Sims.
That's, yes.
That was probably the most excited
yes.
I got about video games.
Oh my gosh. Did you ever play the MyScene computer game where you like dressed
okay.
up
those
the girls?
Those types of video games? I didn't know if that counted.
Computer games.
The computer games that
Neopets.
Were like that. Yes. Like the more lifestyle
yes.
themed games, I was all for that.
Yes.
But the race car driving and Mario.
I liked Monkey Ball.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
And Dance Dance Revolution, and that's about it.
Did
yeah.
you ever play the Lilo Stitch sandwich
Hamburgers?
Game?
Yes, the sandwich stacker.
That was one of my favorites. They should bring that back since we're in the era of rebooting. Reboot that.
Yeah, Disney. But I guess it was a different time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I personally, and it sounds like you weren't either, very influenced yeah. by video games growing up.
Mm-mm.
But it's 2019, and the tech is way more a part of young girls' lives, so I think what they're doing is really important.
Yeah.
Did it really affect me that much? No.
No.
But
it's still important.
Very important.
Regardless.
And I like their message to create this strong female character. So,
mm-hmm.
like, what comes to mind when you think of a strong video game character?
Well, immediately I didn't think video game just because, or I can't think of a video game character because I'm not that in tune with that culture.
Right.
But what I do think of is Wakanda and like
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
PETA, Nuwongo's character, yeah. And Danai.
Like superheroes. Career. Yeah, yeah, more in like the superhero realm.
Yes, their characters, because Wakanda was so transformative because it presented women in a strong, smart, independent format, which we're starting to see more. And I think that's what they were trying to at least let the contestants do in this episode. Some did that, some did not. So that's who I think of. I can't think of any video game people.
I believe it started as a video game. Yeah. Lara Croft Tomb Raider, like Angelina Jolie, where she's kind of like the female Indiana Jones. That's what came to me right away.
Wait, what is it called again?
Lara Croft.
I'm going to look that
Tomb Raider. They just remade it, actually, the movie.
Were you a fan? Did you like...
No.
Okay.
But
that's what you think
me,
of.
Like... Angelina Jolie in that role kind of encompasses like the badass woman that, yes, I think a lot of the designers were trying to channel this, mm-hmm, week. And something I thought was really interesting was every designer kind of had a different idea of what a badass woman, yeah, is. Like some people, a badass woman was like the really physical, like, yep, combat person. Some people, the badass woman was someone who takes care of people and, yeah, takes away pain. Uh-huh. Like it's cool to see, yeah, how everyone interpreted what a badass woman is to them.
Yeah, what it means to be strong. Because strong doesn't always have to be aggressive and, yep, intense. It can be, like you said, caring. It can be sensitive on the inside. But
and that's
you're,
why women are so badass.
We are literally... We're the queens.
Because
the queens
we can do
of
it.
The earth.
It's not like get you a girl who can do both. It's like all girls do both.
Yeah, we do it all.
We got physical strength, mental strength, emotional strength.
I mean, bow down to us. Shout out to Miss Kumbi.
Shout out to all women, yeah, honestly. But you know what? There's women in this competition. There's men in this competition. Doesn't matter who you are. You had 30 minutes to shop and a $300 budget.
Yeah.
And everybody was gravitating towards grays and reds, yeah, I noticed, which is like the stereotypical like superhero, mm-hmm, colors.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's kind of like a palette for that sort of thing that people gravitate towards?
I feel like red because it's strong and passion,
yeah,
and it's intense. And then I would say black, mm-hmm, because black is also within that same, like, it's associated with being strong and really scary. Not scary, but...
Intense.
Yeah, intense.
It's like an intense color. Totally.
And then I guess gray as well, like you said. I would even put blue in there. I'm surprised.
Like an electric blue, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of underused.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't go towards that color because blue is associated with superheroes a lot of times, or just like video games.
They really had to walk that line of, yeah, like not making it costumey, not making it superhero-y. I think especially if you're not into video games, this challenge could be really difficult.
Hard.
To channel what does a video game character look as opposed to an animated character or a movie character or a superhero or, yep, a comic book. Like, they're, yeah.
Because they kind of merge in a way, you know?
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
They,
yeah.
They, like, almost, like, peel from each other. Like, they're subgroups of each other in a way.
And it was so cool. I think the coolest part of this whole week was that they got to work with animators to give them a digital version of their design, which, yeah, is the future, honestly. Mm-hmm. And do you think that fashion and digital design have parallels, or is it kind of like creative brain, math brain?
No, I think it's merging, and it shouldn't, yeah, be merging, because they shouldn't be mutually exclusive. They,
yeah,
can exist at the same time and enhance one another.
Mm-hmm.
And because everything is being digitized, it's more efficient. And I think it allows...
Yeah, do you think this is going to be like the future of fashion? Do you think there is going to be like an animator in...
I'm surprised it already doesn't exist.
Yeah.
If it, maybe, like, if it already does exist, I'm not surprised. But if it doesn't, definitely it's moving in that direction. And they were showing us in this episode.
Yeah. I thought that was absolutely crazy and, mm-hmm, so cool. Because, I don't know, like, I do think that they're very similar. But in a lot of ways, I think they're super different. Because, you know, fashion... You know, the designers usually have these really loud personalities,
right,
and, like, this need to create and stuff. And I feel like the people who are on the animation side are kind of more subdued, and they don't really care about you know, necessarily putting their name on their designs. Right. They kind of just want them out there to the world.
It's kind of like, think of it like, okay, you have an IT person who works at a magazine. That person may not be interested in magazines, but they love IT. So IT people help the very people who are writing those stories make those graphics, use the digital and tech tools that they need. So it's kind of like that correlation. Yeah, they may not be an animator, may not love fashion, but he helps facilitate the greater purpose.
They can just
help
him see the bigger picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally, totally. To the cast, let's talk a little bit about the cast. We finally got a little bit of Renee, not that much.
Yeah.
She revealed that her strength was, I thought this was really beautiful.
It was beautiful.
The power to erase bad memories. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what...
Sonia, not Renee.
Or Sonia.
Okay.
Sonia. Apologies, Sonia. So she, said we have the power to erase bad memories, and she kind of, to me, summarized, like, what it means to be, like, a mom. Mm. You know, how they have that just, like... Yeah. Like, can just, like, touch your forehead and, like, take it away
Fix it,
you know?
Immediately.
And she also revealed that she had a background in the surfing industry.
Yeah.
She said that she wanted to create these technical board shorts that helped women surf better. And they didn't let her. They didn't give her the chance. And she kind of wanted to just erase that from her head. So she kind of drew upon her own personal experience as a woman, you know, being... suffocated in this industry and like held down. Did you take Renee for a, or I keep calling her Renee, Sonia? Did you take Sonia for a surfer? And did this come as a surprise to you?
Yeah, because we haven't seen a lot of her.
Yeah, I know.
So I think this is the first time we've ever gotten any type of personal information about who she is and her background.
Right.
So that was really great to see. And when she shared the information about her leaving the company because her ideas weren't really being valued, I think it's just, we don't know the nitty gritty details, but when you are, you know, maybe you have a minority idea, it's not the most popular, but it's so advanced, people just aren't ready for that. Or, oh, it's not in right now, we don't need to worry about that. But that's what creates trends. That's how things become advanced, when you're thinking of what everyone else doesn't even, like, can't even comprehend.
Especially being a woman in fashion in her generation.
Yeah.
You know, her voice maybe doesn't have the same weight it would carry now.
Exactly.
And I hope that this show gives her the platform for her voice to be heard.
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool that she was working in surf fashion. It's so practical and it's so everyday for some people. And yeah, I loved that.
Yeah, like so many people love the beach.
Yeah.
Love the water. I don't know how to
surf.
And
those surf brands are huge. There's big money
in
Roxy and Billabong.
Especially out here, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would love to see her. Come to L.A.
We can talk to you.
You want to come to AfterBuzz? We'll sit you down right here. I would love... Sonia, please come. We'll chat. It'll be a great time.
Got a nice warm seat for you.
Okay. Also, I think there may be a potential Project Runway romance blossoming between Tessa and Bishme. Do you not think so?
Wait, did I not see something? I was so confused.
I have noticed a little flirting the past couple episodes.
You don't think it's just platonic? You think it's romantic?
Yes. Yes.
What?
Judging off the body language and just like the exchange of looks, the way I don't know. I'm calling it. I'd like to hear what you guys think.
What do you guys think?
Because she's obviously thinking it's friend zone.
Yeah.
I see romance.
I just, because they have a good rapport and they're very goofy with each other, which I love. So I didn't think it was anything beyond being friends. You can tell they're one of the closer duos.
I know that they
live
in a house together. And they have a lot in common.
But when you live in a house with people, you get close very quickly because you're around each other all the time.
Those nights
just
are
close.
Long.
Okay.
They're away from
home. Let's do a poll.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
Who votes they're romantically feeling each other and who votes that it's just platonic?
It's not even just this episode, though. I've seen it slowly build. There's just
so you
little...
felt it from the beginning.
I think I started picking up on it around last week.
Okay.
There was some joke about, you're going to be my baby daddy or something. I don't know if anybody else remembers this, but it happened. We could run it back.
Yeah, we need to rewind that. I want to see.
I don't know. I think Tessa and Bishme, there's something a-brewing.
How do we, what would be the combo name for that? Tessa May?
Tishme?
Tishme?
Bisha?
Bisha?
I like Teshme.
I like Bisha.
Bisha?
Bessa?
Just, we can't agree on anything.
Whatever, I know.
All right, but we also... I feel like every week we get to know Hester a little better. We probably know her the best out of any of the characters. But I did find out that she's a married woman. Mm-hmm. She has a wife.
Yeah.
And they just recently relocated from New York City to Santa Fe to be closer to her family because her family is having some health issues. And that was something that really kind of, like, hit me because they were talking about how they're living in New York City. They had this really open and, like, diverse culture of people who accepted them. And moving to New Mexico, it's kind of a reverse culture shock where you go from so much acceptance and love and, you know, diversity to suburbia and, you know, a culture
more homogenous and thinking.
Yes. And that's something that, like, I thought about. I know you're not from LA. I'm not from LA. We both moved here from other places. Is that something that kind of drew you to LA, is like the open-minded culture?
Yeah, and the mix of people.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully for me, I grew up in the DMV area. I'm from Maryland, PG County, so right outside D.C. And so, like, there's Virginia, D.C., and Maryland. So there's a melting pot of like, ethnicities. And then I grew up in PG County, which is actually, like, a predominantly Black county,
mm-hmm.
Like, a fluent Black county. So I'm thankful for my experience because I saw people who looked like me, and then I also saw people who, of different cultures in places like D.C. when I would go for school or just to hang out, or in Northern Virginia, which is also very diverse. So I actually never felt that need moving out here. I just always had an affinity for Los Angeles, and it's outside of my home and something exciting.
We saw La La Land and, like, took it way too seriously, right?
Yeah. So that was my experience. But what about you? Was that why you wanted to come out here a little bit?
No, I'm from Florida, too, which is also super diverse. I'm from Tampa. It's a largely Cuban community. Mm-hmm. And there's, I mean, where I'm from is super diverse. I never grew up, you know, in a super, like, homogenous community. It was also very diverse. But I will say that obviously, LA is, like, way more liberal than where I'm from, and it's so cool to meet people who are so on the same page and just, like, open and loving. And
it's more, like safe to express your beliefs.
Yes, yes. I love that, especially where I live. I live in West Hollywood, and that's, like, the best. Everyone is so, like, free to be themselves.
Yeah, inclusive and accepting as well. That's important.
Shout out West Hollywood.
Yeah,
like,
WeHo.
What a vibe. All right, so let's get to the challenge. This was a tough challenge because they had to keep it high fashion, not make it look costume, keep it high taste, and have the visual by the graphic designers match what went down the runway.
There's a lot going on.
That's a lot.
Hard.
That is a lot. And they didn't have that much time to do it. It wasn't like a super fast challenge, but
they had 2 days, which seems like a lot with all that.
It was a lot, and not everybody could hold up to it. We had a fitting situation with Jamal where he accidentally ironed away his marking, so he basically didn't have a fitting.
Ooh-wee.
I felt like he remained surprisingly calm.
He did.
He had, like, his little moment where he was upset, and then he, like, came back.
You think so?
He walked in, and he had his hug from Hester.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He didn't have, like, a physical manifestation of his
despair.
He didn't cry. He wasn't, like, hyperventilating during a scene. So for that, I'm like, respect.
He handled it maturely.
Yeah.
I think, well, he has a calm spirit to him in general. Like, he's very soft-spoken.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. So he doesn't strike me as someone who would be like, WTF! What? Like,
that's exactly, you know, what I would do.
Me too. I would, like, probably start crying and, like, freaking out like this.
Yeah.
Which he didn't do. But what I loved was when Hester embraced him, because it shows, even though these people are your competitors, they're also human beings and they need love,
and
they're far away.
And they've been in your shoes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure Hester has had her moment where she's accidentally got rid of her markings.
Those people took her her stuff in the woods.
Yep.
So they've all had their moments, and you're far away from your family and your friends. So when she hugged him and gave him the support, because that's very stressful, I really like that she did that.
And one of my favorite parts of this episode, because, like we said, this episode didn't really have a whole lot to pull from, but they took a little nighttime ferry ride through New York City, yeah, and they kind of just let everything go. I love when we get to see them be themselves, and, you know, we get to see their personalities away from the competition. They were having a little walk down the runway, taking in the lights.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Those are actually my favorite parts of the competition, even though we're here for the fashion, because the fashion is great, but I love when we get to see them as people, because we can relate to them the most. Like, we're clearly not fashion designers, so...
You're not? No, I'm just
I can relate when they're being silly, like, you know, you're a Bishme, Tisme, whatever their name is.
They're in love, okay?
Yeah.
I swear!
When they have those cute moments, or when they're looking at the New York City skyline together, just sharing those memories together, I can really identify with those.
And then, and like we said last week, you gotta let it go sometimes, or else you'll go
crazy.
It's stressful. All right, so basically after that, the next day, it's showtime, back in the workroom. And, you know, after they put their looks together, a very important part of the complete look is hair and makeup. And something I found really interesting this week was Rakan had no input on hair and makeup. Everyone else came to, you know, the makeup artist and the hair team, and they, you know, had a specific vision. And he just kind of, he had no input. And so that brought up a thought to me. Do you think, as a fashion designer, it's your responsibility to have a say and a vision for the hair and makeup? Or do you believe in more of like a glam squad, where it's like, you know, like how kind of the Kardashians roll, where it's like, I have a guy who does my hair, I have a guy who does my makeup,
right,
I have a guy who does my outfits?
I feel like it's not as black and white. I think it just depends. In this situation, they have to have the whole entire look.
Right.
But if you are someone like a Kim Kardashian or just a celebrity in general, I don't know how they do it, but I would assume they probably know how they want to wear their hair, just because stylists, but in this situation, you need to have your stuff together. You should know what the hair wants to look like and how that's going to flow with the outfit. I just think Rakan is in his own world.
Yeah.
And just goes by Rakan's rules, which is completely fine, but you kind of have to comply with the rules of the competition. But
I think it's fine when you're running your own fashion label, but
cool,
when you're trying to prove yourself as a designer still, I think you should have a handle on it.
Yeah, because you're still... It actually works in your favor, because it shows that you can wear many hats. You don't just design, but you also can visualize the whole entire look from top, literally top to bottom.
Yeah, I think that's what makes a winner in this competition.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can come home with the crown. If you can't...
Yeah, be prepared. He's been doing this for weeks. Come on, at this point...
You got to be able to say, give me some wing eyeliner, high ponytail... Call it a day.
Like, just be spitting it out.
You don't have to make any crazy moves.
No.
Just something that goes with your look.
Yeah.
And they'll help you. They'll help you.
They will.
They gave so many suggestions.
Yeah. And he was just like, eh.
He wasn't having it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into top and bottom of the week. Who was your top? Who was your bottom?
So, my top was actually Bishme.
Okay.
I love that look, and I was surprised it wasn't in the top. Maybe it's because it was a little too costumey.
Yeah.
But I just loved the design of it, like how sharp it was. It was like kind of like geometric and shiny, but not too avant-garde, where it was a little like loud and cheesy.
Yeah.
Really liked how he put that together. My bottom, I was going to say Rakan, but I didn't really dislike his look as much. I didn't really like Vinny's as well.
Okay, yeah. I agree with that. It looked a little on the cheap side to
me. It looked very cheap.
Yeah.
Just the colors. And it could have come together beautifully. I think that that was such a sweet inspiration.
Very sweet, yeah.
But the way it came across.
What did he call himself? The Bedside Baptist?
Bedside Baptist.
I thought that was so funny.
There are a lot of people watching church live stream.
That is hilarious. I didn't really know that was a thing.
Yeah, I do that sometimes when I can't get to church.
Are you a Bedside Baptist?
I'll watch from my bed.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I was not aware. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll have to check it
out there. Most churches do let you live stream.
Wow.
Yeah, so just find the church for you.
2019, man.
You can do everything.
You can watch church in bed. My top of the week was Garo.
Mm.
I feel like he keeps kind of like dancing toe-to-toe with Hester, and she's like out-sambaing him every week. Out-sambaing him. Like, she's just, like, one step ahead. He'll have this great design, but he just keeps missing the mark. But in my opinion, he had the best head-to-toe look. I loved the cone and the hair.
The hair was awesome.
I loved the X. I loved everything about that. And I love that Brandon Maxwell picked up on his design.
Mm-hmm.
He realized that, like, the X on the chest was like, you ain't getting none of this. And that, I'm sure, as a designer, is the best feeling. When somebody sees your look down the runway and gets the message right off the bat.
That means you did a good job.
Hell yeah. So I was rooting for Garo this week. Didn't go as planned, but that's okay. Yeah. My bottom was Rakan. Rakan did not do it for me this week. Rakan really hasn't ever done it for me.
No.
I think he has a great personality.
Oh, he's great TV.
And he has a cool backstory. There is talent. I mean, I can't freaking do what he does.
Because of talent.
But, yeah, he just hasn't brought it, really. And I thought the contrast in colors was just awful. The steel with, like, the red lipstick red. It was, like, refrigerator steel gray.
And the Lycra, and, like, which he'd never used.
Marilyn Monroe lipstick red.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was just so much.
And he had never used the Lycra before.
Yeah, he's just taken, like, these crazy swings. He's, like, and he's, like, swinging a miss, you know? He's not knocking it out of the park. Right. It's swing... Hit a miss.
I will give him a 10 for taking risks, because that's great in this competition, but they have to be risks that are... That
calculated.
Like, makes sense. Yeah, calculated risks that will see results, positive ones.
I don't know if he's there. No. I don't know if that's... Mm. Actually, we actually do know that it's not for him, because Rakan was our loser this week. Hester was our winner, so that makes Hester's win count at 2, which makes her the contestant with the most wins so far.
Yep.
Wow. I kind of feel like our dude Sebastian is, like, falling into the shadows.
Yeah, I forgot about him a little bit this week.
He came out hot, and he's slowly simmering out.
I think I mentioned this before, but I like that. Because you need to be humbled a little bit.
Hell yeah.
Out a competition like this, you can't just be on the top feeling yourself, because it's not going to be like that when you're outside of this competition. Yeah. And it allows for growth and humility, and for you to really listen to what people are saying and taking that in, and then practicing their advice. So his piece wasn't bad today.
It's very memorable. Nothing comes to mind for me.
Yeah.
I don't have a picture to reference, so I'm going blank.
It was like pastel-y orange, I think white, like very soft, pretty colors. Yeah. But... it's not top of mind.
Hester's, she's been very consistent. Like, she's established her style. Yeah. She knows who she is as a designer, and she knows what she's capable of, which is, I think, what keeps her at the top.
Yep.
Versus someone like, and you know what else about Hester is, she'll take in advice.
Yes.
Christian will come by and give her advice, and she'll take it, and she'll win. And that's where we differ with Rakan.
He does, like, it's him and Jamal. They both do that.
Yep.
And
they self-sabotage.
They self-sabotage.
All day long.
And they think they're right. And they may be right, but like I just said, you need to humble yourself.
Yeah.
Christian knows what he's doing. He's a practicing designer, and he's very successful.
Mm-hmm.
So how about you just, I don't know, take a little bit of the advice.
Take a seat.
Take a seat.
Take several seats.
Take several seats. Take a notepad.
Pop your popcorn. Take it in.
Because, or else you're going to be in the bottom. Time and time again, and then wonder why.
And who have we seen in the bottom the past couple weeks?
Rakan.
And Jamal. Then,
yeah. They don't listen.
Yeah, he couldn't take it in this week.
Could not do it.
Sorry, Rakan. I think you're talented. And as always, you can keep up with Rakan via Instagram. You can go onto the Bravo Project Runway story highlight and find Rakan there.
Yeah. But before we move on, guys... we just want to say thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We really appreciate all the support. So if you're watching us on YouTube, give us a thumbs up and please subscribe. And then if you're listening to us on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. And of course, comment on both platforms. Your support and you watching us means the most. AfterBuzz has been so meaningful for us. And we just want to keep enjoying all of your comments and enjoying our favorite shows.
5-star.
That's a tongue twister.
Five star rating.
Five star. Okay, I can't say it.
News and gossip?
News and gossip.
Hit me with the news and the gossip.
Hit me with the news and the gossip. TV news. Alrighty, guys. So our wonderful mentor, Mr. Christian Siriano, recently announced that his friend, Selma Blair, he and her want to start a fashion line for people with disabilities.
I love that.
Yeah. For all of you guys who...
She has MS?
She's correct? MS, yeah. So for all of you guys who don't know, Selma Blair has multiple sclerosis, and she revealed in an interview with Vanity Fair that she has trouble just putting on her clothes. So this line would cater to people who need comfortable clothes and need clothes that's adaptable, and it won't take too much effort for them to put on their clothes, zip it up, button it up, whatever that the case is. So
amazing.
Yeah, it's a really great cause, and I would love to see this come to life. He told Christian had this conversation with Entertainment Tonight. So he said he's going to wait until she gets better because, you know, she's trying to recover. Right. But hopefully we get to see this come to life because I think it's a great cause. And I would love for
them...
Step
in the right direction.
Yeah, to help people who need more recognition. And then on top of that, our wonderful host, Miss Nina Garcia, had an interview with Good Morning America where she said that she underwent a preventative double mastectomy. After testing positive for the BRCA gene, she noticed that she had a mutation. So for those of you who aren't too familiar with the BRCA gene, basically all women have two BRCA genes, BRCA1 and BRCA2. And normally they protect women from cancer, but in her case, her gene was mutated. And so for women who have mutated BRCA genes, they're more likely to develop breast cancer. So she was preventative and decided to undergo the double mastectomy. And she had to miss part of Fashion Week in February. And she just felt so weird as the editor-in-chief being a little secretive about something like that. And after talking to her husband, he was like, you should talk about this, share your story. And now she's encouraging other women to be open and to get tested. Because if you can prevent like she did, that's so much better. Because you save yourself all the other medical distress that could come along after.
Very brave, very courageous, very...
Salute to you.
Yeah, very noble thing to do. Yep. So on a lighter note, we're going to get into the caption police. We're going to be running the Instagram account today for Project Runway. We have a really out of this world look today. Kind of alien vibe. What would the caption be for this outfit?
I would say this is Xenon Warrior. Yeah, let's call her Xenon Warrior.
Xenon Warrior, yeah. Princess.
Yeah, Xenon Princess. She has... I don't have my glasses on, guys. But she kind of has Bantu knots. Are her hair knots? Let me see.
Hold She's on. Got some buns. Let's see. Some space buns.
Yeah. So we call them Bantu knots. But yeah, she has Bantu knots, space buns, but just knots. So she's giving me like Xenon vibes because I feel like she had a hairdo like that. Or maybe I'm making stuff up. But the color is very Xenon-like, and that's how I feel. What about you?
I'm going to go some inspo from Lady Gaga and her song Venus, where she says, take me to your planet, take me to your planet, take me to your leader, your leader, your leader. So take me to your leader. All right, we got to wrap this up, man. Yeah. We're running out of time. So you got any predictions for next week?
So my prediction is that Sebastian is going to come. Now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
We gotta let the creepy music roll in, you know? Mm-hmm. It won't be complete without that.
I know. So I think Sebastian's gonna come back. Ooh. He's gonna show us why we fell in love with him in the first place. So I'm excited for that. And then Hester, I'm interested to see how crazy she's gonna get since she has immunity. So she could play it safe. Or she could just go wild, because regardless, she's going to win. I mean, she's going to make it.
You just let that slip. You said she's going to win?
Whoa, I guess.
I don't know if I can predict a winner right now.
No, that was definitely a slip. Wasn't even aware of what I was doing. You know what I mean? She's going to make it to the next round.
I think I need another week or two to be able to say, that's our winner. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited for that. I predict that, you know, the front runners are going to just become more apparent every single week. And the people who aren't as strong, it's just going to become more evident as the competition rolls on. Yep. So, yeah, I'm excited to hopefully see more from Sonia. hopefully see a little more from Renee. You know, they're kind of the older motherly figures in this competition. Yep. And I don't want them to be forgotten. No. Because if we've learned anything from this episode is that women are strong and women are badass.
And you can do it at whatever age you're at.
Yep. Preach, sis.
Doesn't matter.
Preach. Well, thanks so much for joining us, guys. We had a lot of fun. We'd love to hear what you guys think. What about Tessa and Bishme?
Are they a couple? Are they not a couple?
Tishme? Besha? I don't know. We'll find out. But we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
After the Buzz. Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to After Buzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.